Well, I met Kyle for the first time last night. I usually don't bring my phone up here, but what I do have for you is a little introduction for Kyle. He gave us some of that last night, and he might share a little bit more with you today. But he is a Christian comedian based out of Minneapolis and tours all around the country performing in churches, theaters, Christian conferences, comedy clubs, and corporate events. He's a reoccurring audience warm-up comedian for the Huckabee Show in Nashville, and his dry bar comedy special, Midwest Sushi, was just recently released. He is also a regular opening act for Saturday Night Live's Chris Catton and Top Gear star Adam Ferrara. Please welcome Kyle Yamada.
All right, well, how is everyone this morning? All right, is it okay if I walk around? Is that all right? I can't sit in one place, so Pastor Dave didn't know I was going to be up here 50 minutes later, so. But no, it's great to be here. How many came to the event last night? I see a few of you, so I want to introduce myself to everybody else, so I introduced myself to you guys a little bit, so you're just going to have to bear with me. But, like Pastor Dave said, I live in Minneapolis, so it's great to be here. What a beautiful day we got, isn't it? What a great day that the Lord gave us today. Well, just a little bit about me. I'm actually half Japanese. And what that means is when I eat, I only use one chopstick. But actually, the weird thing about me being half Japanese is that I grew up in South Dakota. Yeah, there's like three other Asian people there. You know what I'm saying? Not like it's any different in Mackinac City, apparently. No, it's all good. So it's interesting because when people find out that I am half Japanese and I grew up in South Dakota, a lot of them think that I'm a rancher who raises teriyaki beef. It's weird. It's weird, but I don't know. This is a great church, isn't it? This is the first time I've been here, so thank you for having me. It's great here. Everybody, I tell you, everybody has been so nice. Pastor Dave, Sue has been hosting. She's done a great job. Thank you for everything, Sue. I appreciate it. But I got to tell you, I actually go to I guess you could call it a mega church in Minneapolis. It's really big, and I didn't know how comfortable I was going to that at first, you know, because I grew up in a small Baptist church in South Dakota. And you have any other Baptist people grew up Baptist? Oh, yeah, I think I saw you in counseling, yeah. Or at the buffets, anyway, so. All right, well, that's cool. Yeah, so I grew up in a small Baptist church, and we went to a Baptist church because my mom is like the ultimate Baptist woman. You guys know what I'm talking about, right, Sue? My mom is so Baptist that she believed that if you weren't Baptist, you were in a cult. Right? I mean, we'd be walking down the street in downtown, you know, and she'd stop and she'd see someone. She'd go, oh, there's Loretta. Hi. Oh, she's nice.
Or a Lutheran.
I'm like, what, Mom? You can't say that. Why would you say that? She goes, well. And that's how she answered. She answered just like any other Baptist woman answers. She's like, well. That's it. That's Baptist apologetics right there. Well. She said, well, one time I went to a Lutheran service and the pastor wore jeans. And I said, Mom, you gotta get with the times a little bit, okay? It's fine. A lot of pastors wear jeans these days. You know, it's more inviting. We're trying to invite everybody to meet the Lord. It's more inviting. She said, well, yes, it is. For Satan. But Mom, you can't say that. But I gotta tell you, my mom was like the biggest church gossip ever. I'm not gonna lie to you. She was. We'd be sitting there, and we'd be sitting in the pews and getting ready for church to start. You know, because we went to a Baptist church, you had to show up an hour early. right? So we're sitting there, and she's got to talk to all of her friends, and we're sitting there, and she goes, "Oh, wow, look at that. There's Barb over there. Haven't seen her here for a while." And I go, "Mom, you cannot sit here and gossip about everybody. Did you know gossip is a sin?" And she goes, "Well." Now you just sound like a Methodist. So it's great to be here. It's great to be here. Everybody, like I said, everybody's been so nice here. But I've been led to, I feel like I was led to talk about something today, and that's truth. And truth is something that I think our society has really lost a grip on. You know, we know as Christians, I believe that we really know the truth, right? And, you know, I have a lot of conversations with people about this very topic. And what I found is that there's so many people, and you guys have seen it in the media, you've seen it on the streets, you've seen it all over these days, is that everybody has their own truth, right? And that's not what truth is, right? That's not what truth is. If I came up to you and I said, 2 + 2 = 5, that doesn't make any sense. The truth is 2 + 2 = 4. There's one truth. What I'm telling you is I'm making a truth claim. I'm telling you 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't equal 5. It doesn't equal 1. It equals 4. So I don't see how we can have other truths, your truth, my truth. It's unbelievable to me how much traction this has gotten in our society. We are smarter than that. We are smarter than that, and I truly believe that. God did not make us to think that. We've manipulated ourselves as a society, and we've made up this fantasy that there is no truth. You have your own truth. I have my own truth. If I want to be whoever I want to be, I can be it. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. But what does Jesus say about truth? We look in John chapter 14. What does he say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." That is the truth. Right? I can't go down to the bank and try to withdraw $84,000 and the bank teller look at me and say, "Well, you've only got 10. I said, "That's your truth. That's not my truth. I'll take that in 20s, please." Right? So we got to go back to what truth is. Right? Now, I don't know about you guys. So I've got to tell you that in Minneapolis, I belong to a ministry. It's a Muslim ministry. We have a population in the Twin Cities area in Minneapolis of about 140,000 Somali Muslims. And So Minnesota literally has the most Muslim population of all the United States. So we've brought them all in, which presented a great opportunity for us. Okay? Now, if you know anything about the Muslim culture, you know that they are very rooted in what they think is true, what their truth is. In fact, if you leave their truth, you can be ostracized from the family, and this still happens today, even in this country. People who leave the Muslim faith, their family can kill them. And that's a real threat. It's a real threat to Americans. You know, this doesn't happen just in other countries across the pond. This also happens right here in the United States. In fact, I've had several conversations with Muslims, with our Somali Muslims is what they are. Most of them come from Somalia. They're refugees from the 90s, from the civil war in Somalia. But many of them are very, very aware that if they leave, even if they see holes in their supposed truth, and they start seeing the truth, there's still a real threat there that, number one, there's big consequences. Number one, not only will they get kicked out of their family, they won't be able to talk to their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their cousins anymore. Think about that life change. Think about that. That takes, so if you do leave the Muslim culture, that's a big commitment. So what we're charged with, For whatever reason, I don't even think I've ever talked to a Muslim before I moved to Minneapolis. But for some reason, God led me to this Muslim ministry. And now what we do is we go out on Friday nights, we meet at this church in South Minneapolis. And by the way, if you go to South Minneapolis right now, a little different than 5 years ago. Whole different culture. Ever since the riots, ever since everything that happened there in Minneapolis, it's a little different. And so when they told me, well, we're going to meet at this church in South Minneapolis on Friday night, and that at 10 o'clock at night, we're going to go out and witness. I'm sorry, you want me to do what? But for whatever reason, I started getting pulled towards this ministry. And one of my friends, I went to a missions, went on a missions trip to Kenya, when one of our pastors, our family pastor, Steve, his name is Pastor Steve, we got to be really close on this missions trip. And so he wrote me into being on the missionary committee at church, but then also he got me into, let me rephrase that, the Lord was leading me through him to go into this Muslim ministry. Now, I didn't know anything about the religion of Islam. But since then, I've taken some classes, I've done a lot of research, and I have found these people are in trouble. And they need to hear about who Jesus really is. Now, we go out on Friday nights, like I said, and we go down to the Somali malls. There's about 3 big Somali malls in Minneapolis, and we go out there, and we go around prayer time. So we wait until their prayers get out at the mosque, and when they come out, we start engaging. And you've got to understand, this is something that is way out of my league, in my opinion. I didn't grow up. I can't tell you one person that I, quote-unquote, helped lead in Christ when I grew up. And so this scared me to death, to be honest with you guys. And moreover, when you start talking to these Muslims, they know your Bible better than you do in most cases. Why? Because they're prepared. They know that we're going to come at them, and they are prepared with the questions that we're going to ask. So we got to be on top of our game. Now, my question to you is the same question that I asked myself when I started this ministry. How prepared are you to defend your faith? Why do you believe what you believe? And guess what? Because I have faith is no longer a good answer. Because I grew up that way is no longer a good answer. Because I'm telling you, there's people out there with different worldviews than us, with the wrong worldview than us, that are more prepared than us to explain to us why they're right and we're wrong. And you guys, that's not what we were put on this earth to do. Can you imagine if the 11 apostles, after Jesus left us on earth, if they did not carry out the Great Commission? Think about that for a second. What if the apostles, after Jesus left, his last word were, go out to the nations and tell them everything you've seen and everything that I've told you? And what if they took the approach that I took when I was in college? You know what? I'm going to have my fun. I'm going to do what I do. I want to get a major. I want to get a good job, make a lot of money. I want to get a summer home in Mackinac City. But what if the apostles did that? Guess what? You guys, we'd be in big trouble. Right? So I believe that we are put on this earth for a reason. We are made in the image of God to share the message of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't care. Now, I don't know if you were like I've been for years upon years and said, well, I can't do that. See, I was in education. I was in public education. I was a teacher. Well, we can't talk about Christ in school. That's easy. State says we can't do it. That's not true. That's not true. I don't care what you do. I don't care. And if you're retired, guess what? You're not retired. If you're here, you still have something to do. God hasn't taken you home yet for a reason. And I think that's something that we need to remind ourselves. It's so easy to try to be comfortable here, isn't it, you guys? It's so easy to worry about our issues. Man, I wish I had more money in the bank. I wish I had a better house. I wish I had one of these C5 Corvettes I've been seeing all weekend. But that's not our job. That's not our purpose. Okay? And we have to understand that we're human. We're human. We live in a fallen world. We are sinners. And do we get lazy? Yes, we get lazy. Do we try to chase comfort? Do we try to chase pleasure? Of course, we do that. But does that mean we throw our hands up and say, oh, I just can't do it? Absolutely not. That's not what the Lord made us for, you guys. He made us for whatever we have to do. Here's one thing. Some people ask if I have a second job. And I didn't. I've been doing comedy for full time for a while now. But I actually took a second job in October. So it's almost been a year. And I actually worked at Paisley Park. And I don't know if you know what that is, but it's Prince's home and his studios. So basically, it's this big mansion in Minneapolis. And it's where he recorded. It's where he lived. It's ridiculous. So we have visitors still to this day serve out tours to come to see where Prince is. And I got to tell you, that is a community and that is a culture that is not Christian. I'm going to tell you right now. Now, does that mean that I can't show the love of Jesus to people around me? Because I'm going to tell you, the people that I deal with every day, I work with, and the people that I engage with on a daily basis, they're not Christian. But that doesn't mean that I'm off the hook. So, the question now is, how can I show Jesus' love to these people? That's the question, right? So, what I've come up with is basically, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, that's what you do. The Sermon on the Mount, you guys, if you sit down and read Matthew's chapter 5 through 7, you will see the most unbelievable, unethical teachings ever. And whoever said that Jesus Christ was a lunatic has not read the Sermon on the Mount. That is absolute ethical genius. What do you mean, to slap me on the right cheek, turn to him the other? That's love, you guys. That's love. So, again, I go back to how do I show love to people who don't believe in Christ? I need to be like Christ. Now, how do I do that? Again, go to the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us everything what we need to do. Matthew 5 through 7 says it all. That's how you witness. That's how you witness in a fallen world. That's how you go out there and you witness. You be kind to others. You show them the love of Jesus. You don't have to sit down and say, hey, listen, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. That's not doing anything. They're going to run from that. Right? We have to show them the love. Now, does that mean we need to be tolerant of everything? No. Jesus wasn't tolerant. Jesus, what did they do when they turned his father's temple into a marketplace? He was not tolerant at all. He's overturning tables and he's saying what's what? In other words, what was he doing? He's speaking truth. Okay? So what I'm saying is we don't need to... We're still all made in the images of God, and that's unbelievers too. We just don't know it yet. Okay? And the other thing I think that we need to do is we need to understand that all of us are harvesters. Some of us are seed planters. Right? I think a lot of us say, well, you know what? I can't close the deal. I've never led anyone to Christ. I've never been actually turned someone from atheism to being a Christian, to believing in Jesus Christ. You know what? You don't know if you even smile at someone, if you're kind to someone, if you help someone out, they will see the love of Jesus in you. They will see where your heart's at. And that's putting a pebble in their shoe, planting a seed, no matter how you describe it, but that's the Holy Spirit working through you. Don't take that for granted. So the next time when you're out, and believe me, I travel a lot, and I fly in a lot of planes. There's so many times, you guys, where the Lord puts in front of me opportunity, and I just want to sit against my window seat and go to sleep. I'm not, and I've done it many times. And in retrospect, I realize, you know what? God's telling me I need to get to work here. Okay, are we going to answer that call? Right? Now, we just had a Bible reading, and that was about abiding in Jesus. Now, I have these two roses here. They're beautiful, aren't they? They're cool. They better be. I picked them outside the church. Don't tell Pastor Dave. Free will offerings going to new landscaping, apparently. But so if I did this, I picked this beautiful flowers, beautiful roses, right? And I told you that I was going to go home and I was going to put this on my mantle, and I'm going to watch it grow the next few months. What would you say to me? You think I'm crazy, right? I literally picked these from the bush, and I'm going to leave it there, and I think it's going to flower and grow. It's not going to happen. But as Christians, we tend to do this all the time. Now, hear me out on this. See, we just read that if we abide in Jesus, we will produce fruit. Right? Now, if I pick this and lay it down and try to tell you that in 2 months that is going to be absolutely beautiful, it's going to produce the most beautiful fruit you've ever seen, you'll think I'm crazy. But yet, we live like that as Christians on a daily basis, some of us, if we're honest. My question to you, and to me as well, because I feel like I need to remind myself of this every single day, is what am I abiding in? What am I connected with? If I'm connected with Christ through prayer, through studying His Word, through going to church, communing with other Christians, and then going out there and sharing the Word, that's being connected to Christ. Okay? At that time, I am going to be part of that vine, part of that branch. And at that time, Jesus will give me all the nutrients, everything I need to produce beautiful fruit. But if I detach myself from Jesus, I'm going to wither away and die spiritually. Why would I think any other thing? Why would I think anything else? Right? So my question, I go back to this question, what am I connected to? I've got to ask myself that on a daily basis. Because we're all connected to something. A lot of us are connected to our work, our careers. A lot of us are connected to our families, our kids. Now, that's not a bad thing. But is it distracting us from what we need to do as Christians? See, even good things can be distractions. Right? Even our family, even our kids can be distractions from what God is calling us to do. Yes, they're beautiful gifts. Family is a beautiful gift. Having a career and being able to pay our bills is a beautiful gift. But once we prioritize those over our purpose of what God has us to do, our real job, that's when it becomes problematic. Right? So again, we've got to ask, what are we connected to? Because I've been in seasons, and many of you have been on this earth longer than I have, but there's a lot of times that we do feel connected with Christ, and there's other times that we feel not so much, right? And that is probably the biggest tool that Satan uses on a daily basis, is putting that wedge in between us and Christ, or having what I like to call Satan's shears, cutting you off that branch. So again, if we're not connected to Christ, what are we connected to? Right? And if we are connected to something else, our job, addiction, again, it can be good or bad. What do we need to do to get back to that vine? What do we need to do to be connected with Christ? Just so, it's something, again, I need to reflect on, and I think we all should as Christians. So, again, I just want you to think about this. Who am I connected to? And if I'm not connected to Christ, how do I get back to Christ? Okay. Let me say a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. Help us not to take for granted what you did on the cross. You shed your blood for us, Lord, and you make a promise you're going to come back for us. But in the meantime, I pray that you put it on our hearts to share your love, to share your commitment to us, and share what you did for us, and what the ultimate purpose of this life is. Help us to share that with others that don't know you, Lord. We pray that you open up our eyes and our ears to the opportunities that you present in front of us to spread the gospel, Lord. We pray that we can remove any pride, any hesitations, any insecurities that we might have about sharing your love with other people, Lord. Help us understand that the enemy is out there trying to deter us, doing anything that he can to keep us from spreading the word and spreading the truth. So again, Lord, we just pray. We pray for Christians all around the world. We pray for the missionaries who are out in the field who are being persecuted on a daily basis. We pray that you uplift them and you protect them and we reach the unreachable. Lord, we do believe that you are coming back, and we are very excited. Lord Jesus, please come. But until that happens, please put it on our hearts to make sure we spread the word to all corners of the earth until everybody knows about you and everybody puts their trust in you and everybody knows the truth of who you are. I thank you for the community of Mackinac City. I thank you for bringing me here, Lord, for meeting the people that I've met and the influence and everything that I have gotten. I just think it's such a blessing and a gift. And I pray for this church. I pray for the Church of the Straits that you empower Pastor David as a leader and you help him to guide your congregation here in Mackinac City to spread the word of your love and your salvation to everyone who comes through. And I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you.